Okay, how do you like all those exciting things happening around here at Cross Point? Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Go ahead and grab your message notes out of your worship guide and get prepared to follow along as we get ready to go through this last installment of this series, Breaking the Rules. And as you do that, let me just mention that any of these messages are found online. You can go to our website at crosspointworshipcenter.com. Avail yourself of that, along with the message notes that you can download and fill in the blanks there at home if you like, if you missed any of these. And also, along with that, let me just say, I mentioned this last week as well, and that is that there are announcements there that coincide with the today's service. So if you miss any of these announcement videos, you can go back and watch this all over again at home and catch up on these things to be sure and be a part of this. I just want to say, Get involved. I mean, today, come to the growth track. It's going to be awesome, 401, and just be a part and get involved. God is involved with our life. Did you know that? And so, it's not like he's not get involved. He's already involved. We just need to get involved with what he is doing. That just came to me this morning. I just want to mention that. Just get involved, be a part, and your life will never be the same when you jump in and enjoy all that God has for you. I want to jump right into this series today as we are going into this series in the month of February. It's a season where really we talk about just relationships, life. There's Valentine's that happens this time of year. It's a time where you talk about real things, you know, life, money, sex. I can't really say that's a topic that I've really covered much in my 30-some years of ministry because I really thought that was an area that you just didn't bring up on the platform. Well, we're going to look at it today. In fact, I've been telling you that this is a PG-13 kind of message, and it looks like we're safe here. So our younger children are availing themselves. But actually, my youngest is 14, perfect for him to be here, because actually our kids probably know more than we think they know. And but I believe that the Bible actually has a lot to say about this topic. And so early on in this series, I was telling you how nervous I was about this. I was advised by one of my counselors here in the church, don't do that, Pastor. You make us all nervous when you're nervous. And so don't be nervous. It's going to be fine because I believe God has something to say about this. In fact, the world has a lot to say about it. Guess what? The Bible has a lot to say about it too. And we're going to set the record straight today. In fact, what we're doing is contrasting what the world's view of things are today in our culture and then what God's standards are. And there's quite a bit of contrast. Unfortunately, though, our culture has oftentimes infiltrated the church and polluted the church, and it's very much contrary to God's way. Paul, we've looked at Paul in his letter to the church of Corinth, where Paul was an apostle. He went and he planted churches in different places and set up leadership, and then he'd go into another city and plant another church. And there was a church called Corinth, and a church in Corinth that city was very much similar to our culture, in that they had been kind of infiltrated with the values of the world around them. And so Paul delivers this corrective letter to them, helping them to understand really what they were supposed to be as the people of God. And so let's pick it up there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, that says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." So there are those that say, well, that's just old-fashioned. This is 2016. That stuff you're talking about is silly. You need to be progressive in today's world and understand how the world really works. But, well, to us, it's not foolishness. Rather, we've experienced, because we understand who God is and how his laws work in our life, that it really saves us. Life is much better. We experience the power of God. And so it goes on to say, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate." So don't worry, those that say, well, that way doesn't work, they'll be back. You don't have to get really upset and start arguing with people and debating with people, because honestly, they're going to find out that way doesn't work. They're going to find out themselves. And then God says, "Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made the foolish made foolish the wisdom of this world. Goes on to say in verse 25, for the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. So in week one, we went back to the basic, the principles, the biblical principles, and how we've discussed it, how, you know, culture changes, but God doesn't change. And so we got to figure out if we're going to follow culture or if we're going to follow God. God does not change. We talked about going back and becoming not a modern family, but an ancient family, in specifically three areas. In the second week, we talked about money and how that all relates, and the economy, and how in this world it's not working. How that we can break, by the power of God, the spirit of mammon. Even Jesus talked about this spirit of mammon, this controlling spirit, making you think that money is the answer to everything. And there's nothing wrong with having money, but it's bad when money has you. There's a big difference. And then we looked at last week, the spirit of pride, this boasting that happens in our life, and thinking that we by our own power do these things in our life and by our own accomplishment. And so there's this spirit of pride that needs to be broken. We talked about the answer to that, of how that we are rest in Him. We take one day of the week and we rest. Talked about the principle of the Sabbath. How do we break the spirit of mammon? It's by having a spirit of generosity. And then today, though, we're going to be looking at this area of sex. And how that relates to us as Christians. And so there's this philosophy that if it feels good, you know, whatever. Just that's kind of the thinking of today. But look with me in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. And we took this last week. We're going to take this again and break this down. It says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. So they're saying that, don't follow the ways of the world. That doesn't work, and that's not where it's at. But love the Father. And then it says, for everything in the world, and it talks about three big areas. The cravings of sinful man, that's what we're going to talk about today, which is also called the lust of the flesh. And then the lust of the eyes. And so, you know, whatever it is, I got to have it, that spirit of mammon. And the boasting of what he has, that pride that rises up. Does not come from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desires pass away. It doesn't work. But the man who does the will of God lives forever, enjoys life to the fullest and life eternal. And so I this is not in your notes, but I shared this last week. I'm going to throw this up here again today. And that is, so there's this spirit of mammon that's the god of possessions, meaning that, you know, money makes you happy, but yet it doesn't, okay? And then there's a spirit of Baal, which is the god of power, that pride that rises up, and we break that by resting. Then there's the spirit of Asherah. That's what we're going to talk about today, or the god of pleasure. These three things. And so, in fact, the devil only comes to us in three ways. Whatever sin there is can be categorized in one of these three areas. And what we believe is that God gives us the power through his spirit to be able to break those spirits off of us. In fact, you see them in the Old Testament, but you also see them even in the New Testament. I believe you also see them in 2016. Not to freak you out here, but it's really a demonic spirit. And when we give into these, we're worshiping those things instead of worshiping God. Jesus said you cannot worship God and the spirit of mammon, right? But so you can't worship, you can't be following that and following God too. So we're going to show you how that happens in our life and how we need to be following God. So and then look at this. The New Testament even talks about, amazingly so, that there's a generation that's influenced by these foreign gods. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, look with me there. They knew God. Now, hang on to that. Look at that. They knew God. So we're talking about people that knew God. They knew him, right? They knew who he was. Maybe even professing Christians, right? But says that, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. So they worship, well, I know God, but I'm not going to follow him. I'm not going to do everything he tells me to do. I'm going to do things my way. I'm going to try to figure out my own way through this life. I'm going to do what maybe I'm just going to survey the atmosphere and kind of navigate my own way. Well, that's what these people were doing. We need to understand that's important. So they knew God, but they didn't follow him. They didn't, I'm not going to obey him, and I'm not going to bow down to him and worship him. But here's what worship is not the song service we just had. Worship, listen, is when you bow down and say, God, you're greater, greater than my opinion, greater than my analysis of my life. Your way is greater, so I'm not going to follow what I think or what I feel, but I'm going to follow you. I'm not going to try to get you to change, adjust to me. God, I'm going to evaluate whether I'm right by your standards, and I don't want you to change. I'm going to change, right? I'm not going to get the Bible to change to fit my life. I'm going to change to fit what God says about my life, all right? So here's look at what it goes on to say. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. So they tried to reinvent God. And yet God is defined in his word, but they wanted to redefine him. Let that settle for a minute. Oftentimes, we're redefining life. We're redefining what that looks like. We're redefining, we talked about this, about what marriage looks like, what my life should look like, what's right and wrong. We're redefining that, but yet it's already been defined. So they think up foolish ideas of what God was like, and as a result, their mind became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth for a lie. So when you don't go God's way, the outcome is it's just not pretty. In fact, they become very dark and confused. As a pastor, this area we're going to talk about today, I've seen some of those confused people, and it's a result because they have fallen to the spirit of Asherah in their life. How do we know that? Well, on TV, not the movies, guys. On TV, there are 17,000 sex scenes per year, and 91% of those are out of wedlock. They want to confuse you. But they don't take you on the other side of that. It's very, very dark. Listen to this. The porn industry revenue is the same as Major League Baseball, NBA, NFL, NHL, Hockey League combined. And they wonder why we're losing a generation. Why is there disease? Why? Because we've redefined what life is supposed to look like. And there's three lies that culture wants you to think about this. And today, by the help of God, we're going to expose some lies, all right, of the enemy. And one of those lies is this, and that is that sex is some animalistic action. You're just an animal. You know, you just got to follow these urges and desires. And, you know, you say, I can't help it. I can't help the way I feel. You know, I got these feelings, and, I got to give into that. I got to satisfy those feelings. But here's the thing. You cannot trust your feelings. So the question is, since when are feelings a gauge of how to best live our life, right? If I followed my feelings, I wouldn't be your pastor today, okay? I'm just saying. Are y'all okay out there? Wax on, wax off. Okay, everybody good. All right, just deep breath in, deep breath out. Look, if I had followed my feelings, I wouldn't, because I'm not going to live by my feelings. I'm going to live by my convictions and by the things I believe are true. So I've got to bring my feelings into subjection to the things that I know are true. My feelings will lie to me all the time. We're not animals. We are not animals. Even Asherah brings animals into the sex talk, right? And they do it today. We're going to talk to you about the birds and the bees, right? And so it's just like they can't help it. You ain't going to be able to help it either. And so we're going to help you. We're going to give you some things to help you do it safely. Come on, that's crazy. I had a girl one time that I knew that doesn't attend this church, and she said to me, now, when my firstborn was kind of getting up in that age, and she said, now, Theron, now don't be old-fashioned now. Now, you need to give him some stuff to protect himself. And I said, let me tell you, he doesn't need to be worrying about protecting himself. He needs to protect himself from me because I brought him into this world. I'll take him out of this world. But anyway, I'm just saying. And it's just crazy. It's crazy that what they say, where you just have these animal urges. But the good news is this. You're not an animal. You were made in the image and the likeness of the Almighty God. I don't mean to sound preachy there, but I'm just telling you, that's good news. Are you hearing me? Amen. That's good news. You're not in the animal kingdom, but you have to guard yourself against feelings. We talk about animals here. You know, when I was a young child, I used to go hunting with my father. and my grandfather. I hope that's politically okay to say in the South. Come on. Is anybody hunt here? Come on. Fess up. Nobody's going to judge you, right? Anybody hunt? Nobody hunts. All right. So if you're a hunter, here's what you know. There's a thing that some people like to hunt, and that's the white-tailed deer. And white-tailed deer is a very, very smart animal. Got a big rack, you know, lots of antlers. This big rack, because he's a smart animal. Because the more rack he's got up here, listen, the smarter he is, because he got that for a reason. By being smart, that's why he has a lot. And so the white-tailed deer, he doesn't just come strolling out into an open field. He is very cautious. When he eats, he'll eat and then he'll look up. He watches all the time. He's at the edge of the forest and he's looking. He's looking around. He's just watching everything that moves, right? And he's very cautious. He doesn't just step out. Very rare would you ever see him step out of the forest, if at all. If you're lucky, he may step out. But he's just very, 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 very cautious. Smart, smart animal. But the fawn just comes out, boop, 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 just doesn't really know what life's all about. Prancing around, boop, 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 you know, just having a good time. So with the doe, you know, everything's just fine, you know, just prancing out in the field. But the buck doesn't come out. He just sits on the edge of the field, and he's just watching. Maybe one step at a time, maybe lucky he'll come out, but very rare. Until the rut. Y'all not hunters. Y'all don't even know what I'm talking about there. That means the doe is now in heat, and there is a scent in the air. And he doesn't have his head up anymore. His head is now down. Say, where are you at? 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 And he's out in the middle of the field. Boom! He's on the wall. He's in your belly. That's where he is. Boom! You're taking him out, right? I'm just saying that's the way it is. He just, and that's so, right? That's what happens, because you're stupid when the scent is in the air. Where is she? And so what happened was he followed his feelings. He's looking for love in all the wrong places, all right? And then we're coming up in April on turkey season, about a month in April. Smart birds. The eastern turkey can see you blink from 50 yards away. Come on, y'all don't watch Duck Dynasty, do you? Anyway, and you have to be camoed from head to toe. And you got to set up, perch up there where you are in that blind or whatever you're in, and you have to be dead still just watching. That bird is smart. He knows if anything moves. And you have to wait till he's fanned out a little bit, turns a little bit, till he blocks his view of you before you could even move an inch, or he sees you and he's gone. So it's very tough, very, very tough for those smart, 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 smart birds. Until there's a sound of the hen, right? That's why when you go hunting, that's, I can't do it. You know how you do those duck calls? You know? And then that turkey saying, where you at? Right? And they even show off, you know, put them fellas out there, boom, boom, you're in the oven, you know, your Thanksgiving dinner. There you go. Wow, because when that scent's in the air, you're not too smart, right? So what's the point of all this? What's the message here? If you buy into Asherah's lie that you're an animal, you're going to end up on the wall. That's what that means. You're going to end up as Satan's trophy. Fact is, you're no animal, which leads to the second lie that Asherah wants you to believe, and that is that sex is just a recreational activity. Just a recreational activity. Well, it's just for fun. It's just spring break. I didn't even know her name. It's no big deal. It's sport. It's entertainment. Not true. The truth is, what you needed to know is that it's something more than sport is going on. Sex isn't just physical. Everybody listen to this. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. And God intended the sex act for there to be a fusion of your souls. And that leads to the biggest lie that Asherah wants you to believe, thirdly, and that is that it's an isolated event. An isolated event. Like you can walk away from it. And so culture has actually spent a lot of money into this thing and said that whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. No, it doesn't. It comes home with you. It's a lie. And they're spending a lot of money to get you to believe that it can be this isolated event, but it's just not true. As a pastor, I've talked to people, a lot of people that need prayer, and a lot of the time it is in this issue, always ends up most of the time in being, in, if somebody says, I really need to talk about, I got some issues, a lot of times it ends up being this area of sexuality, right? Somebody was raped, or was child abuse, or some kind of sexual abuse. And you say, well, that means authorities let them down. We've all had authorities let us down, but why is it at a much deeper level when it's sexual? It's much deeper because it's not just physical, it's spiritual. There's something more happening than just that act. And when that happens, listen, there's a deep hole when we give in to this. There's a deep hole because, listen, real love is not a feeling. It's not some satisfying a feeling. Real love is a commitment to a person. Real love is about intimacy. And the more times you're involved in sexual acts other than your spouse, you destroy your ability for intimacy. That's why half the world is medicated to try to even enjoy it at all, because they've done so much to destroy themselves in that area, and it is a tragedy. And then the church comes along and says, well, here's the answer. Don't. Just don't. Thou shalt not. Don't. Don't talk about it. Don't do it. Don't. But that's not what the Bible says either. I grew up in a church where you don't talk about it. You don't say anything about it. You just stay away from it. Don't. Like God wants to sterilize your life to complete boredom. And that's not the message of the Bible either. Actually, the Bible has a lot to say about sex. Why? Because it wasn't the devil's idea. It was God's idea. It was God that created it. Are you ready for this? God even put the pleasure in it, right? It wasn't like God looked over in the bushes and saw Adam and Eve and said, oh my God. No, he didn't do that. I mean, he because he created this for us, right? And so it is a spiritual union. In fact, let me just take this a step further, and I share this a lot of times in marriage counseling with couples, and that is, it is so spiritual. Paul, when he was talking to how a man's supposed to treat his wife, he said, well, really, I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about how Christ loves his church. And so the marriage relationship is very parallel to the spiritual relationship between us and Christ. And did you know how we're in relationship with Jesus is through a blood covenant that Jesus shed his blood for us. Go back to the Old Testament. Look at all the blood covenant. Listen, Jesus was the blood covenant for us. He shed his blood for us so we could be in relationship with his Father. It was a shedding of blood, okay? Now this is PG-13, but in a marriage relationship, in a true marriage relationship, if God intended it to be, where there was two virgins that come together, there is the shedding of blood when that marriage is consummated, right? I'm trying to get too graphic here, but I want you to understand there is a spiritual element to this thing. It is not just a physical act, and we need to understand that. So here's, again, this message is PG-13, not because of just the subject matter, but listen to this. This is why. Because of the scriptures that I'm about to share with you right now. So just to talk to you about what God's part in this, that's how awesome our God is, right? 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 Nervous laugh. Y'all don't really know what to think right there. But let me just preface. I'm going to give you a scripture that's found in Proverbs chapter 5. And to preface this, let me just say this. And that is that the Bible refers to a male's reproductive parts as a fountain and a woman's as a well. Now, I don't need to explain it to you. If you need an explanation on that, just go see your mama, all right? But Proverbs chapter 5 says this. Drink water from your own well. Share your love only with your wife, right? And so God's saying, look, this is supposed to be for your enjoyment, But here's how it works. One man, one woman in marriage. One man, one woman in marriage. I'm going to say it again. One man, one woman in marriage. Can I get a good amen right there? That'd be a good place for it, all right? And he says this, why spill the water of your springs or the fountain in the streets? Well, it was just spring break. We were at the beach. It doesn't matter. Why do that, having sex with just anyone? You should reserve it for yourselves. Never share it with strangers. Let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. She is a loving deer, a gracious doe. I didn't write this. God wrote this. Let her breast satisfy you always. May you be captivated by her love. The Hebrew word of that, for that word captivated, is intoxication. Whoa! I mean, yeah, giddy, yeah. I didn't write that word because I can't spell that word. But woo, yeah. I mean, right? Why? Then it says, but why be captivated, my son, by an immoral woman or fondle the breast of a promiscuous woman? For the Lord sees clearly what a man does, examining every path he takes. Every evil man is held captive by his own sins. They are ropes that catch and hold him. He will die for lack of self-control, and he will be lost because of his great foolishness. Now, here's the thing. All of us have had some involvement in this spirit. I would say all of us. But there's hope for everybody here today. So I want to look at what it means to break the spirit of Asherah. So when you're standing in front of the magazine rack, when you're on spring break, when you're at the computer and you're one click away, you need to understand what to do. We're going to go back to the scripture again that we've been using in this series from Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. When you got to make a decision, what are you going to do? Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And look at this. You will have rest for your souls. I'm not delivering this message to be religiously correct. I'm not fighting to be religiously correct. I'm fighting for your souls, all right? And so for you to be able to lay your head down at night and have peace, rest for your souls, he says, is what you have. So as a pastor, I want to help lead you to still waters that will restore your soul. And so to do that, what we've got to do is go back to old school, old-fashioned ways. And that is not restrictive. It's rest. It's rest. It's peace. And so Paul said to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15, do you not know that your bodies, now listen to this, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, okay? So perhaps you didn't know. Oh, I didn't realize. I just thought it didn't matter. It doesn't matter what I do to my body. I mean, that's God. I'm here. No, the Bible says that our body is the temple of the church. So that means that, you know, people come into the sanctuary and they come into a church like this and they say, oh, it's holy. We got to act right. We got to be quiet, take our hat off, be respectful, be reverent. No, this place isn't holy. You're holy. So what would it look like if you treat yourself like the temple of God, understanding that's the reality that God resides in you. So now what would your life look like if you treated your life that way? You the one that should be holy. And then he says, So shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites with himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? That word unite actually in the Greek means permanently fused together at the deepest level. I didn't think that was happening. I thought it was just casual sex. No. There was a permanent fusion that happened. There was the becoming one. It's becoming one. And that's why sexual abuse hurts. It is a big deal. Goes on to say, for it is said, the two will become one flesh. Even reach back to an Old Testament reference. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 and 20 says this, flee from sexual immorality. Flee from sexual immorality. So, again, one man, one woman in marriage, anything out of that, anything outside of that, here's what you do. Run. You don't try to manage it. You don't try to rationalize it. You don't try to work through it. You run. you run. I think today we're so casual with it. We're so inundated with it on every front. We've just learned how to live with it. I mean, it's February. It's swimsuit edition, you know, of Sports Illustrated. Well, you know, all God's creation is just wonderful in His sight. I'll just appreciate it. No, don't open that magazine. I delivered it recently. I didn't open it, okay? And I just kept my eyes on the address, okay? Just on the address because the cover is bad enough, all right? But we don't manage it. But what is said here is that we are to run from these things. I heard of one pastor who, he was a youth pastor, and he said he would have his youth group together, and he would see a young couple, one of the couples that were dating. She'd have on his sweater and his ring and whatever, you know, and they'd be cuddled up. Hey, come on up here. This week we're going to pray for y'all, and here's what we're going to do. And he'd get this big Bible. You know the family Bible that you sit on the coffee table? Big. I mean, the big old Bible. He'd say, hey, I'm gonna give this to the man, to you, all right, and you're the keeper, all right? And when you go out on a date, I want you to set that Bible right between the two of you, because they're always asking, how far is too far? And he says, well, here's the deal. You put that Bible right between the two of you, and whatever you will be comfortable in doing over top of that, I'm okay with. Because he knew they would understand that God was there with them. Guess what? God is with you. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. One of the deals that this youth pastor had with his young people was that if you're ever out in a situation and you're close, call me. And they did. They had such a good relationship. They called him. God called him and said, I'm close. And he'd say, get out. Run. Get out of the car. What do you mean run? Get out and run. Run a mile. Come back. Run. And they would. They get up. Run. Come back. I don't think it's going to happen. Listen, you think it's a silliness. Don't try to manage this area. Because look what it says. All other sins, it's not like one sin is greater than another, but here's the deal. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. You're doing it to yourself. It says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. Oh, I thought I could just make my own decisions. Oh, no. You've been bought by a price. You belong to God. You're His. You're in relationship with Him. You're not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. And that's your blank there, right out of the Word of God. Honor God with your body. Know that God is always there with you. So act like it. Honor God. Every part of my body, how I care for it, what it does and does not do. That's why I could take it to another level. How we eat, how we rest, how we exercise, how we treat our body is the temple of the Lord. So we got to understand, I am the sanctuary. I am the temple of the Lord. Now, I know I've stirred some stuff up here. I know that. And perhaps for some of you, I might have even stirred up some pain. And I'm sorry for that. But I believe that this is a very important message. But I want to give us some takeaways of what we can do. And if you've already given in majorly to the spirit of Asherah, it's not too late. And God can make everything brand new. So I want to give you some things, some steps, some practical steps that we can do. I'm going to sit down and give you some practical things. Number one, and that's repent. Repent. Now, repent doesn't mean come to the altar and just, oh, God, I'm so sorry. It's more than that. The word there is metanoia in the Greek, which means turn your direction and go the other way. So if you're heading in the wrong direction in any area like this, I mean, turn around. If you're looking at magazines or you're on the internet doing things you shouldn't be doing, or if you're planning to go to spring break or you're cohabitating with someone, or you're flirting with someone at work and you're married, whatever that looks like for you, you need to come to this realization, I should not be going that direction. Maybe I need to turn around and go a different direction. That's called repenting. So we need to repent. And so what it takes is to decide, I'm following Jesus. I'm not going to follow my feelings. I'm not going to go my way or where the world is saying. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to go God's way. Right? So I'm not going to decide what's right for myself. So God's made it clear that I'm going to live according to God's standard, not my emotions, not my decision process. I'm deciding to follow Jesus. That's repentance. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, therefore, come out from them. From what? From the who's them? The world. And I don't need to reveal to you what that is. The Holy Spirit can do that, all right? So whatever area he's touching right now, come out from that and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. So maybe you don't need to go see that movie. Well, I can manage that. I could just overlook that one part. No, maybe you need to refrain from that altogether. Make no provision for the flesh, the Bible says, right? Maybe you don't need to listen to a certain kind of music. Well, that's really old-fashioned, Pastor. Well, if it conjures up memories and things and emotions, come on. Even way back centuries ago, there was a guy named Ethos. You remember the philosophy of Ethos, which meant that said that good music produces good people and bad music good people? That was written centuries ago, all right? So computers, you know, what I'm looking at, computer. So what we need to pray every day, I heard it in prayer this morning, in our prayer time before church. Search me, Lord. Try my heart. Know me. See if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. We need to pray that. That's a good point right there. You need to pray that every day, every day. And every day we need to be repenting. Every day there's things that we need to change, things that God. And so we pray that, and God reveals, oh, that area I didn't realize. And God changes that and corrects that and redirects us, okay? So be in a repentive mode every day. And then he says, and I will be a father to you when you do that. And you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And so number one is repent. Number two, receive forgiveness. Receive forgiveness. Another word for forgiveness really could be healing. Healing. A lot of us have said yes to the spirit of Asherah. And all of us have things we regret. And it's produced shame, and it's produced guilt. But God offers forgiveness, and he offers healing. Here's the good news. Listen to this. You don't hear anything else. God forgives, and he cleanses, and he removes even the memory of it. Because God says that he will remember our sins against us no more. I can forgive you, but I may still remember. But God says, I forgive you, and I forget. That's a good deal, everybody. Somebody needs to shout for that one right there, right? So he cleanses us, he forgives us, and he cleanses and he wipes away the sin and the stain and makes you pure and clean. Isaiah 1 and 18 says, though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They are as red as crimson. They shall be as like wool. And so for some of us, we may need some healing. You need to get into a small group. You need to get some other people to help you walk that out. Number three, reorder your life. Reorder your life. Let me just say this. Some of you don't need to just hear this message and say amen, but some of us need to go home and reorder our life. You need to go to your computer and put a filter on it. You need to get some accountability and in a relationship of accountability. If people are going on spring break and you're planning on going and you know what's going to happen when you get there, you might need to politely say, I got other plans. Come on. Because here's the truth. Asherah is coming back. So this message is not enough. It's because Asherah's coming back and going to try to convince you again. And so I would say, sir, if you're in an inappropriate relationship, you need to break it off now, today. If you need to change jobs or cities, do it, right? I mean, get serious about this, if that's what it takes. Even Jesus said, if necessary, pluck out your eyes. I mean, you think I'm harsh, right? So we need to get serious and reorder our life. 2 Corinthians 7 and 1 says, therefore, since we have these promises, what promise? The promise that your life can be better than it is now. Dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. So we need to reorder our life, right? The friends we have, the places we go, what we do. Trust me, it will save you from a ton of pain and shame. If you will give, it will give you something more beautiful on the other side when you do it God's way. And so God's laws are not for him, they're for you. And it's so that your life will be better and that you'll have rest for your souls. And so I just want to, just in wrapping this up, let me just say this. I made a decision growing up. I was going to be a virgin when I got married. I made a decision. I made a decision I was going to live for Jesus, and I was going to give him my heart. And my wife made that same decision. Let me just tell you something. When you make that decision, it's easy. I'm not saying there's not temptation, but I'm saying once you make that decision, honestly, in fact, here's another thing I'd like to advise you. Get a reputation that you're following Christ, and you got to live up to it. And everybody around you knows it. There's some accountability even from the world because they hold you accountable because they know that you're a Christian, right? And decide, and I'm not saying that, you know, you're saying, but Pastor, now it makes me even harder to relate to you. You're like an ancient relic, okay? I'm sorry for that. But what I'm telling you is, and I'm not perfect, and I've had flaws, and I've messed up myself, okay? I'm not trying to paint an unrealistic picture here, but what I am saying is, there is power in making a decision of how you're going to live your life, that you're not going to live it by what's happening and changing around you, but you've decided, I'm going to live for Jesus, and I'm going to do things God's way. It brings peace, and you have a life without regrets, and you have a beautiful life. Now, for those of us that said, well, Pastor, that's not me. That's not where I have fallen big time in this area. Let me tell you something. You can start today. And you can start again. Here's what I'm convinced. I believe God can give you the heart of a virgin. All right? God makes all things new. God can purify and clean your heart. But you're gonna have to make some decisions. For me, I'm gonna lose some of you probably here on this, but for me, I didn't go to dances. I mean, I just didn't go to dances because I was scared to death of what, you know, that arena, right? I didn't go to movie. Why do you think I had to buy the 6 Star Wars movies to see what Star Wars was all about before we went and saw Star Wars? I didn't go see movies, all right? I mean, I just didn't do that because here's the danger, though. I remember, I will tell you this. I was in college. First university I went through, it was in Alabama, Troy University. And I was talked into going to this place that was a nightclub. And I went in. And I want to tell you, I got in there, and my heart, folks, was beating out of my chest. And I felt scared, nervous. I felt this evil spirit, okay, because there was a lot of stuff going on that shouldn't have been going on, all right? I'm not just talking about just dancing. I'm just saying it was not a good environment. And let me tell you what that was. That was the God living in me saying, I'm not comfortable here. You shouldn't be here. This is not your place. I'm with you, and this is not where I am. Here's the problem oftentimes is that when you cross a line, you cross it again and again and again. After a while, that heart's just not doing that anymore, and you're comfortable. And it's like a frog in water, you know? We just become so lukewarm and we just adapt to everything around us. This is a wake-up call to the church saying, folks, we are God's people. And we're going to live God's way. And was that to make us stiff and rigid and weird? And no, it's to make your life better. It's to give you peace. It's to give you rest. And so that God will help use you to then help others and rescue others and help them see there's a better way. The spirit of Asherah wants you to worship the spirit of Asherah. But God says, you cannot worship me in that. I got to have your heart, right? And when we do it his way, right, I'm telling you, it brings peace to our life. Let me end up with this for your notes there. This is actually a quote by Andy Stanley that says, giving up something now for something better later isn't a sacrifice, it's an investment. With that, if you just bow your heads, because some of us really do need to make a decision today, and that is, we need to decide, I'm following Jesus. I'm giving him my life. I'm going to live it not the way that I can try to figure out how to live it with everything around me speaking into that. No, I'm deciding I'm going to follow Jesus. And if we'll do that today, you'll discover the Prince of Peace. You'll discover rest for your souls. And I want to help you today. I want to just pray a prayer with you today. And if you're here today and you need to pray this kind of prayer, I want you just to, from your heart, pray this with me. And just pray this. Say, Lord Jesus, today I give you my heart. I give you my life. Today I'm deciding, the cross before me, the world behind me. I want a good life, God. I want a life of peace. I want a life that matters. I want a life that counts. I want a life. So God, I choose you because you are life. I thank you for giving your life for me, for paying for my past, for giving me a new start today. Thank you for coming inside today. I welcome you. Now make me brand new on the inside. Cleanse me. Heal me. I worship you. I follow you. And I'll follow you with all my heart, with all my life, as you help me, God.